Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It is 6 a.m. and a master of a house goes out into his vineyard and he sees that he needs laborers to harvest his vineyard. So he goes out then to the local job fair and he negotiates a term with some laborers for a usual wage, 1 denarius for 1 day's work. But then at 9 a.m., he goes out into the vineyard and he notices that he needs more hands for the harvesting. And then he notices some men just burning daylight. Maybe they're looking at their smartphones, I don't know. Maybe they are walking up and down the halls of Home Depot and Menards trying to find something. But they are not working. And so he says to them, "Come and work for me in my vineyard. And whatever is just, not right, but just, I will pay you." Now he repeated this both at noon and at 3 p.m. And then, at 5 o'clock, the master saw that the sun was setting, and he realized that there was still more work to be done, and he needed more hands. So he went out to the dusty roads, and he found some more workers who had not been hired, apparently. And then the master says to them, "Hey, you go into my vineyard, and you go work." He promises them nothing. And considering the fact they have nothing better to do, they go off into the vineyard. But now it's 6 p.m. in the evening. It's time to punch out. And the foreman then calls all of them and lines them up in reverse order. The last hired first and the first hired last. These last-minute workers, hands probably still smooth, unbloodied from having touched any sort of vine, they look down at their paycheck, and they can't help but smile. Wow, a whole day's worth of pay for 1 little hour. Such a deal, right? But this was no deal. There was no promise. The master could have paid them anything he wanted to. Remember, it's his vineyard. And while we have this ledger called fair, the master does as he pleases. Not fair, but just. Now, you can only imagine the workers down the line as they see the last being paid. I mean, they're rubbing their hands and licking their chops and already probably counting the coins in their heads. "We're going to get 12 denarii for 1 day's work. Sweet!" But the master of the house made a deal with them. 1 denarius. And then the reality sets in. Only 1 denarius for all day's work. "Where's my union rep? This is not fair. This is so not fair. Look, these last worked only 1 hour and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the entire day and in this scorching heat. But ironically, they're the ones who have the least to complain about. Because they agreed to the terms. They signed the contract. Union scale, 1 denarius for a day's work." And then the master of the house replies to them, "Friend," or more in the actual tone, kind of like, "Hey, look, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius a day? Didn't you? So take what belongs to you and then go. I choose to give to the last worker as I choose to give to you. It's my vineyard. These are my riches. Am I not allowed to do with what? Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what I own? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Or put more pointedly, is your eye evil because I am good? Or do you cast an evil eye on my goodness? To which we as sinners must say, certainly we do. Absolutely. We cast evil eyes all the time. We cast evil eyes and rolling eyes and glaring eyes on those whom we deem irredeemable and who've done things that we don't think we will ever do. We see them as lost causes as we create these arbitrary lines around us and them, this fairness, this respectability. We draw this around kind of our country club called the Kingdom of Heaven. That God justifies the ungodly in their sin is an ungodly thought to us. Sure, God forgives sins. We all know that. But not that much sin, right? Well, just there's a limit, right? Well, ask St. Peter. He found out the answer last week. But we stutter back to God. But God... Lord, if you don't have rules and you don't have regulations for admittance into the kingdom of heaven, that means that anyone can get in. That means from the, quote, card-carrying Missouri Synod Lutheran to the deathbed repentant confession. No, this cannot be. We must have some sort of standard, a rule. An offering ledger, a golden seed pew, I don't know, but we need to divide the workers from the slackers. If you don't do this, Lord, then it's not fair. Because this last being first and the first being last stuff, yeah, not so much. Imagine for a moment in the terms of athletics. The 0-16 team after the season gets to raise the Lombardi Trophy. You like that? I know one guy here that likes that. No. It's not fair. You know, and as much as we like fairness, we should not want God to be fair with us when you really think about it. Being that the sinners that we are, we should shudder at God paying us our due wages. For the wages of sin, as St. Paul says, is not life in the kingdom of heaven, it's death. We confess in the fifth petition, which we heard last week, of the Lord's Prayer, that we daily sin much and deserve only punishment. Nothing but punishment. So, if you really ponder this, if you are really honest, which we have a hard time doing, what chance do we have to enter the kingdom of heaven other than by the sheer generosity of the Master, of God? What chance do we have if all the laborers do not get the same pay? Where would we be if we got what we deserved? What chance do we have if God doesn't assert his rights and remains in heaven and just kind of loves in general, but not specifically? And yet we insist over and over again about equality. Equal pay for equal work, equality of the sexes, equal protection under the law. Treat everyone the same, equal. That's the way the law works. But notice that when people want equality, where do they turn? They turn to the law. What we don't often realize is that to deal in equalities, you have to apply some sort of measurement. Kind of like the way I look at you and maybe you look at me at a Lenten dinner to see who's got the bigger piece of pie or cheesecake on their little plate. I'm looking. Some of you I know are looking. You just don't want to admit it. Equality, you see, means measurement. And measurement means the law. But with God, the equation is equal salvation for unequal work. A denarius for just simply being there. Even if you just simply watched other people work for 15 minutes or an hour. Or you clocked out right before closing time. And notice also that those who are bent on equality and the law, on the agreed upon contract that they signed, got exactly what they deserved. A denarius for the day. But they were also the least joyful. They were the least grateful. They were the least of the master's generosity. Aware of that. And that is how it is with people who live under the law. Equality, fairness. For often such a life is filled with bitterness or resentment or frustration, always comparing, always measuring, always trying to justify themselves by how much they have done compared to how much everyone else has not done. The later workers, you see, had no such agreement. They just expected what was literally just. Not fair, but just. Whatever the amount was, they would be happy with it. And those last-minute workers, they had no reason to expect anything. Nothing was ever promised to them. And that is what we are before God. We are beggars before God. Beggars who know their debts, who know that our work is never perfect, who know that we stumble and fall repeatedly into sin after sin after sin, and who have nothing, and who have done nothing worthy of the pay or reward that we are given. And nonetheless, our Lord supports our body and our life with not only earthly sustenance, but also eternal riches in the kingdom of his heaven. For you must see how this master of the house goes into the vineyard himself. And then at the third hour, his work was underway, and he was betrayed, and he was mocked, and he was beaten to a pulp. And then again, at the sixth hour, he labors under the cover of darkness, and he bears that scorching death. And then at the ninth hour, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then the greatest burden is borne in silence. But now, he who was first is now last, also that the last might be first. A blessed exchange. He bears your burden after burden after burden, and you receive his blessing after blessing after blessing. Not fair, but just. Gracious. The kingdom of heaven is where last ones are declared by grace to be first ones. So in the end, whether you are part of this church when they first used the shovel and hit the dirt and broke ground, and you have sat in the pew ever since, or today is your first day here in this church, no one in the kingdom of heaven is greater than another. Because God chooses to give to the last his first fruits. We all have one Christ. We all have one baptism, one gospel, one spirit. No one has a better baptism, a better gospel, a better Christ, a better heaven than anyone else. For God is not too proud to spend his time eating and drinking and giving his flesh and his blood to sinners like us. For he will have us even when we have shown that we prefer everything else but him. And that is the marvelous joy of the faith, of grace, that causes the host of heaven to rejoice. Because the joy of the Lamb slain is for clueless sheep. The joy of the Lord is for those who would become last, so that those who are last might become first. That you get out of life not what you put in it, but you get out of life what Jesus has put in it. And that is the kingdom of heaven and eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen.